Matthew 6, 9 through 15. Let us hear God's word. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Now this Lord's Day morning, we return again to our monthly prayer time, and we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer for a number of weeks. We've seen that the Lord's Prayer has a preface. It has six petitions and then a conclusion. We've looked at the first three petitions, those requests that concern God and His kingdom primarily. The first petition, hallowed be thy name, speaking of God's name being glorified, speaking particularly of worship and the fact that we are to worship God. Then it speaks of His kingdom, thy kingdom come in this life, and then Christ come and His eternal kingdom be hastened. And then we've looked at the third petition, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, particularly speaking about the obedience that we ought to have to God's will. So we've seen these petitions related to God's worship, His kingdom, and His will. Now the second three petitions that we begin to look at deal particularly with us. They concern us in a real sense, obviously, that we might glorify God, but they concern us. The first one relates to our temporal needs that we'll look at this morning, and then the next two particularly about our spiritual needs, and particularly two great needs, our need of forgiveness for our sins, because we are a sinful people, but also our need for protection and to keep us from sin, both negative and positive. But this morning we'll look here at this fourth petition, Give us this day our daily bread, in verse 11. One thing, it shows us that there is a legitimate concern that we should have for our physical well-being. It justifies a concern for that. Think about 3 John 2, where John, speaking to Gaius, says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Here John says, I know you're doing well spiritually. I want you to do well physically as well. And so it's important to John, and it's certainly important to us, and is a matter that we can certainly be praying about. Let's consider first the words of this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. First, the word give. We need God to give it to us because we can't get our own bread ourselves. Consider the words of Deuteronomy 8, 14, and then 17 and 18. There God says through Moses that the heart of God's people was going to be lifted up, and this is what they were going to say. And thou shalt say in thy heart, My power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. He's warning them. They're going to begin to acquire many things, and they're going to be tempted to say, aren't I smart? Aren't I mighty? And so God warns them through Moses, No, remember, it's the Lord that's given you power to get wealth. We are not to demand our daily bread as a right. We're not to bargain for it out of merit, but we're to request it as a gift. So we're to ask God to give it to us, not to me. We're to ask for not only ourselves, but for others. It includes us, it includes ourselves, but it includes others. We're to pray for ourselves, we're to pray for all God's children. We learn from Psalm 145:9 and Matthew 5:45 that we ought to be concerned for others as well, those that are outside the kingdom, that God provides for them as well. We're to ask this day or today. Think of Psalm 145:15, The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. All of God's creation waits upon Him every day for their physical needs. We're to ask for our daily bread. Obviously, we're not asking for something that is rightfully ours. It is all God's. Think of Psalm 24, 1 and 2. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For He hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Everything that's created is God's. It's not legitimately ours, but when we ask for our daily bread, we're asking for our allotment. We're asking for the portion that God has assigned to us in His infinite wisdom and fatherly care. We ask for it daily. In the parallel to this passage in Matthew 6 and Luke 11, 3, we have it translated day by day. We're to ask day by day. And literally, we're to ask for the bread which follows day by day. Just as the people of God had to go gather manna on 6 days, so God calls us to gather and to request that God would bless our gathering, our industry. And we're to pray for bread. And it refers to temporal or corporal bread, we believe, not so much spiritual food. We'll be considering spiritual blessings in the next two petitions, but this appears to be a petition that's focus is physical. Obviously, we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word that proceeds from God's mouth. And so it's right for us to pray for spiritual food as well, but we're not to neglect the fact that this, the focus of this petition appears to be upon bread that feeds us. We also learn from this that the term bread is a term that in some contexts is used very specifically about bread in particular, but the term bread is also a very common word to mean all necessities, not just all food, but all, even raiment and shelter is included under this term. It's used such in Luke 15, 12, and 13 to refer to goods, things that people would need to get by. And so we're to ask for those things. In the shorter catechism, question 104, the question's asked, what does this fourth petition mean? And the shorter catechism says this, in the fourth petition, which is, give us this day our daily bread, we pray that of God's free gift we may receive a competent portion of the good things of this life and enjoy His blessing with them. Here they take some other thoughts from other passages of Scripture and apply them or bring them in, incorporate them into this commandment. They obviously, again, refer to it's God's free gift. It's God that gives it to us. We receive it. But we pray for a competent portion. That comes from Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. Listen to these words. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal, and take the name of my God in vain. You see, this prayer is really asking God to keep us from temptation. Keep us from the temptation of having more than we can handle, and keep us from the temptation of having less than we can handle. Give us the competent portion. Give us what You've allotted for us for our spiritual welfare. Give us just that that we need physically so that we won't be tempted on either side, to the right hand or to the left. So we're to ask God for this food convenient or a competent portion. But we can ask for this competent portion of the good things of this life. We're not to understand bread as just bare necessities, but it includes the good things in life that God might be pleased to give us. Think of 1 Timothy 4, 4 and 5. Paul says, for every creature or every created thing of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So everything that God's created is to be used. It's to be used properly, with moderation, but it's to be used and enjoyed by God's people. It's sanctified by the Word because the Word says that God created it and it's not inherently evil and it can be used when it's used properly. But it's also sanctified by prayer. It's sanctified by us thanking God for it, recognizing that He's given it to us and asking Him to keep us from being tempted and misusing His gifts and abusing them. Think of Psalm 104:15. About the wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil that makes his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. God gives some pleasures to people. He lets them adorn themselves. He gives them some food that's beyond mere bread, that's beyond just mere sustenance. And we're to enjoy His blessings with them. And I think this is critical. You see, you can have things and not have the blessing of God with the things that you have. And that is not good. We might think it would be, but think of Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. When God blesses you, He gives you just what you need, and He gives you a blessing with what you need. He gives you the grace to handle what He's given you. But you see, the wicked have all kinds of things from God, but they're not thankful. They don't have the blessing of God with that external, what appears to be a blessing of God. It's not a true blessing. Now, as we consider these passages, I want to just apply them with a few words before we begin to pray. The first one is industry. This has something to say about industry, about working diligently. 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. We believe that we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're to pray dependently upon God to give us bread, but we don't let go and let God. We don't sit there and wait for the money to come down from the sky, do we? We don't hold out our hands and expect greenbacks in our hand. We have to labor. Proverbs 10:4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. God ordinarily uses means. And so when He's ordinarily prepared to give something to somebody, He gives them the heart to work diligently. Yes, sometimes God gives someone a disease which keeps them, or a handicap which keeps them from working, and God provides for them in another means. But an able-bodied man is to be diligent, and that's the way that God provides for him. So industry. Secondly, humility. We shouldn't ascribe what we have to ourselves. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Everything that we have is from above. God says He'll bless us in the city and He'll bless us in the field in Deuteronomy 28:3, but it's God's blessing. It's not our industry that ultimately is the reason why we have what we have. It also says something about anxiety. We're not to worry. Worry adds nothing to the equation. We see that in Matthew 6:27. We see that in Psalm 127. The bread of sorrow. It's dishonoring to God. We see in Matthew 13:22 that it's the care of riches that actually proves that someone is not, or the cares of the world that shows that someone's not a true believer, even though they've had some love to the Word of God at some level, but not a love that's saving. And the care of these things eventually swallows out that what appears to be Christian life. Think of the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:25. Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? If we're asking God for our daily bread, we ought not to be worried about receiving our daily bread. God will provide it. Fourthly, simplicity or moderation. Think of the words of James in James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. He says sometimes people think they're asking for their daily bread by asking for things beyond what God wants to give them. And God says, no, you're not getting it because you're not asking in a right way. You want it to abuse it. You're not asking for something that you can be a good steward of to my glory. You're asking for something for yourself. No, you don't get that, child of God. We need to be careful about pleasures. Remember the Proverb 21:17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now we just looked at a psalm that says wine and oil, there's a place for these luxuries of life and we can enjoy them as God's people. But here we learn that we're not to love them. Because if we love them, we'll abuse these good things. We'll spend our wealth, the wealth that God's given us, on luxuries, and we won't have any substance. It'll hurt us financially. It will certainly hurt us spiritually. We'll be soft. And if we're soft physically, we will be soft spiritually. But fifthly, I think it speaks to our generosity. Think of Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. 2 Corinthians 9:6. He that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Think of the words of Paul in Hebrews 13:16. Do good, or to do good, and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When God provides for us, and then provides for us in a way that we can give to others, and then thus it is an act of worship as we give to others to help meet their needs, and being used of God as a means to meet the needs of others that have these needs.